Swayam Samuttirya Sudustaram Dhyuman Bhava Arnavam Bhimam Abhadrasaurada Bhavat Pada Amburuha Navam Atra Te Nidaya Yata Sat Anugraha Bhavan Swayam Samuttirya Sudustaram Dhyuman Bhavarnavam Bhimam Dabrasaurada
Crossing.
Sudustaram,
which is very difficult to cross.
Dhyuman,
O Lord,
who appear exactly like the sun,
illuminating the darkness.
Of this world of ignorance.
Bhava Arnavam,
the ocean of nations.
Bhimam,
which is extremely fierce.
Adabrasaurada,
devotees who are incessantly friendly.
To the fallen souls.
Bhavat Pada Amburuha.
Your lotus feet.
Navam.
The boat for crossing.
Atra.
In this world.
They,
the Vaishnavas,
Nidaya,
leaving behind,
Yata,
on to the ultimate destination,
Vaikuntha,
Sat Anugraha,
who are always kind and merciful
to the devotees.
Bhavan,
you.
Translation.
O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree. Panchakalpataru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Please repeat. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee.
And
therefore you are known as a desire tree. Vamsakalpaturu. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.151. One can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya, who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, publish such devotional books as the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihina Ye Mantraste Nishpalamataha, Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas Janame Janame Hai A Abhilas. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. Translation again. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore you are known as a desire tree. Vanchakalpaturam. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. So the verse explains how the merciful acharyas, devotees, and the merciful Lord work together to help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. The Lord and the devotee are one in interest. They both have the same interest. The Lord wants to reclaim the fallen souls and help them to come back home, back to Godhead. And the acharyas have the same mission, to bring the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. And they work together. The method by which one is able to cross the fierce ocean of nations is to take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord. Sama srita ye pada palavam pavam mahat padam punya yaso murare pavam budir vatsa padam param padam 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 yavi padam natesham. This verse that I just recited was spoken by Lord Brahma to Krishna. It came at the end of Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. And it says that this material world is like an ocean, and there is danger at every step. But one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is famous as the killer of the Mura demon, can easily cross over the ocean of Nescience. For him, the vast ocean of Nescience becomes just like a puddle in the hoof print of a cow. Although there is danger at every step, the devotee crosses right over it. So that is the general method for crossing the ocean of Nescience, to take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord. But how to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet and render devotional service requires some practical application of the principles. And the acharyas who cross the ocean of Nescience by taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet give directions to the disciples, to the devotees, how they can render service that will be accepted by Krishna according to time, place, and circumstance. And because Krishna is merciful to his devotees, because Krishna wants to fulfill the desires of his devotees, he will accept the method that the acharya gives. And here, Srila Prabhupada mentions some basic principles that he has given to his followers. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling, and chanting 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. And because Srila Prabhupada has given these instructions, and because Srila Prabhupada is dear to Krishna, and Krishna is eager to fulfill the desires of Srila Prabhupada, and also help the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna accepts this method. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains further that the acharya cannot concoct a method. It is not that just because Krishna is mercifully inclined to his devotees that the acharya can just concoct any method. But he mentions that the methods given by the acharya are in accordance with Vedic literatures. The principles are the same, but the acharya may make adjustments according to the candidate and circumstances. Srila Prabhupada has taken the essence of the process of devotional service given by Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami, explained by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and passed on through disciplic succession, through his Guru Maharaj to him, and then from him to us. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned 16 rounds. In the morning, there was a little discussion about the figure of 16 rounds, because sometimes we hear a figure of 64 rounds. Sometimes we hear a figure of 4 rounds. Some gurus in the Gaudiya Mathe will initiate someone who chants 4 rounds a day. The figure of 64 rounds goes back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu often received invitations to take prasad at different people's homes, as sannyasis today also receive. And Lord Chaitanya upon being told of one invitation replied that he will take prasad only in the home of a lakpati. Lakpati means one who possesses 1 lakh, 100,000, it's presumed to be rupees. It would be as if someone said, I will take prasad only at the home of a millionaire. It's not mentioned $1 million, but it's understood to be $1 million. So the devotee was quite surprised. What do you mean? You only take prasad in the home of a lakpati? He said, yes, I will only take prasad in the home of a person who chants 1 lakh names daily. And 1 lakh names is about 64 rounds. 64 rounds is actually a little more than 1 lakh names. So that's where that idea came from, with 64 rounds. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, actually had 3 different standards. 64 rounds, 16 rounds, and 4 rounds. If someone had very little service to do, he was expected to chant 64 rounds. Or his service, his main service was to chant 64 rounds. If someone had a moderate amount of service, he was expected to chant 16 rounds. And if someone was very much engaged in service to the mission, he was expected to chant at least 4 rounds. Srila Prabhupada, in Grihastha Ashram, during his Guru Maharaj's physical presence, he was in Grihastha Ashram, and for quite some time thereafter, he chanted 16 rounds. As he describes it, he would chant 4 rounds before breakfast, 4 rounds before lunch, 4 rounds before dinner, and 4 rounds before taking rest. And that way, he was sure to complete his 16 rounds. Because however busy we are, we're not too busy to eat and sleep. So if we make a vow that, you know, I will not eat until I've chanted so many rounds, or I will not sleep until I've completed my rounds, then we will finish our rounds. And it was broken up like that, so it wasn't too much at one time. When we chant 64 rounds, we often do the same thing. I mean, different people do it different ways, but I might do like 40 rounds before lunch or whatever, and then another 24 rounds before, well, we, you know, before leaving kirtan or something. Definitely before taking rest. Now, Srila Prabhupada had a large worldwide movement, and obviously he could not have different standards for, you know, different devotees, because I imagine that most devotees would figure they're in the four-round category. They're very busy people, and therefore they come in the four-round category. Or there might be some who would put themselves in the 64-round category. Sorry, Prabhu, I can't do any service. I have to imitate Haridas Thakur. I have to chant 64 rounds. So Srila Prabhupada selected 16 rounds as a happy medium. That would give us enough spiritual strength to always remember Krishna and never forget him in the midst of our various duties. And it would also leave sufficient time for us to work to spread Krishna consciousness, which is very important. And that is also a special characteristic of Srila Prabhupada. But not just Srila Prabhupada, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and his father, Shiksha Guru, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that mood is expressed in this phrase, adabra sorada, incessantly friendly to the fallen souls. Srila Prabhupada was incessantly friendly to the fallen souls from the moment he, well, even before then, but from the moment he set foot on American soil, he was incessantly friendly to the fallen souls. He began in New York City in the midst of the hippie era, and he befriended these people. It was amazing. He befriended these people who were taking drugs and having free sex and was doing anything, and he liked them. He could see the spark of Krishna within them, the spark of Krishna consciousness, and he would fan it. And he actually liked them. You can't really preach to people unless you like them. You can't be friendly to someone unless you like the person. Prabhupada was incessantly friendly. His Holiness Bhakti Chiruswami has often remarked that one of the things that struck him the most when he first met Srila Prabhupada was how Srila Prabhupada loved the American and European devotees. It wasn't in the bodily concept of life. So, Adabra Sorita incessantly friendly. And Srila Prabhupada never gave up on anyone. That's another aspect of incessantly friendly. Never gave up on anyone. There was one time when one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples who had come forward when Prabhupada was staying at 22nd Avenue. He came to India some years later, and somehow he got into smoking ganja. And the temple president from Calcutta, where this disciple had gone, phoned Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. And one of Prabhupada's secretaries took the call. Tamakrishna Goswami was there, Shamsundar Prabhu was there, and reported to Srila Prabhupada about the difficulty with the early disciple. And Srila Prabhupada said, you tell the temple president to tell that disciple that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him. And then Tamakrishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that you'll reject him if he doesn't stop smoking ganja? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I cannot reject anyone. And then Tamakrishna Goswami asked, well, don't you have to draw the line somewhere? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, the mercy of Lord Nityananda is unlimited. So that is Adabra Sorita, incessantly friendly, in a general sense to the fallen souls and in a specific sense to any disciple, especially who's taken shelter of the spiritual master. So we should also be in that mood, Adabra Sorita, friendly, excessively friendly. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if a disciple is having difficulty, you shouldn't gossip about the disciple's difficulty, but you should approach the person as if he was your own brother or sister who is falling down, and speak very openly and plainly to the person about the purpose of life, how to achieve the goal of life, not to miss the opportunity. You should be friendly, not just to the fallen souls outside, but to the struggling souls who are making the effort to become Krishna conscious, but who are struggling, which we all are to some extent or another. And always use our time to talk about Krishna, service to Guru and Krishna. Not waste time gossiping or discussing mundane topics. That will create a very favorable atmosphere for Krishna consciousness. And that is also part of the system. Srila Prabhupada at the end of his report quoted a very nice verse, by Narottam Das Thakur, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas, Janame Janame Hai E Avilas. Narottam Das Thakur says that his desire, life after life, is to serve the lotus feet of the servants of the six Goswamis and to live in the association of devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also prays that he doesn't want to take birth as Lord Brahma if he's not a devotee of Krishna. But he would be happy to take birth as an insect in the house of devotee. But what kind of devotee? That devotee who has no desire for bhakti, material enjoyment, or mukti, liberation. In other words, a pure devotee, which we are all meant to be. And in that mood, he surrenders himself to Krishna. And he says, you are my mother, you are my father, you are my husband, you are my wife, you are my brother, you are my sister, you're everything to me. So that's the mood of surrender. And that mood was exemplified by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a grihastha. We might think, oh well, this is all right for sannyasis or brahmacharis who live in the ashram, and I'm a grihastha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a grihastha. He had a wife. He had many children, I think about 10 children. He had a very responsible position in the British government, magistrate in the whole British Raj in India. Hardly any Indians rose to that position of magistrate. It's a very high honor and distinction for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But still, he was in that mood of surrender. Manasa deha geha yoki chumor. Manasa, my mind. Deha, my body. Geha, my house. Household paraphernalia, family members, yoki chumori, whatever I have, whatever little I have, arati rupade tui nandakishore, offered to the lotus feet of nandakishore Krishna. He was a householder. It's not that difficult. Of course, Kali Yuga is difficult, right? But in principle, it's not that difficult. It's a matter of consciousness. It's a matter of consciousness. Everything remains the same, but the consciousness changes. The center is Krishna. And when Krishna is the center and we follow these simple principles, then we can cross the ocean of nations and go back home, back to Godhead. I don't know how many of you have seen the DVD series Abhay Charan, produced by His Holiness Bhakti Churi Swami Maharaj. But some of the early episodes show Bhaktivinoda Thakur at home singing songs, worshipping his deity, and executing his duties as magistrate. What he did, of course he was empowered, no doubt about it, but still what he did at home is nothing that we can't do. It's just a matter of consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada said, you know, the money is there, the bank account is there, the checkbook is there, everything remains the same. You just change the name on the account. Instead of thinking it's yours, it's Krishna's. Everything's the same, it's just Krishna. So the same thing, the wife is there, the children is there, the house is there, your mind is there, your body is there, everything is there, the same. But it's offered to Krishna. You're not thinking in terms of I, me, and them. And it's very easy. One just has to be simple-hearted and not crooked. And it's very easy. So, Srila Prabhupada, as the Acharya, has given this method, and because it is bona fide, it is based on scriptures and the previous Acharyas, and because Krishna is merciful and favorably disposed to his devotees, Krishna accepts the method. And that is the whole business of the Acharya, to engage the disciples in such a way that Krishna accepts their service. And he gives them instructions that they can follow. As we always would say, in the days of ISKCON when Srila Prabhupada was present, that, you know, the spiritual master gives an instruction, never gives an instruction that the disciple is unable to follow. Or, when the spiritual master gives an instruction, with it he gives the potency to execute the instruction. When I first joined, I heard something that Srila Prabhupada had said that really surprised me. Srila Prabhupada had said, I didn't hear it directly, but one of the disciples told me, that if the spiritual master accepts someone, Krishna will also accept him. Even if Krishna otherwise would not have wanted to accept the person. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example that a representative of a company may enter into an agreement with some party, and the proprietor of the company, or the director of the company, may not actually like the terms of the agreement. But because his representative made the agreement, he's bound to back it. Company is bound to back it. So Srila Prabhupada said, if the spiritual master accepts someone, even if otherwise Krishna wouldn't have wanted to accept the person, but because the spiritual master has accepted him, and the spiritual master is Krishna's representative by definition, principle, Krishna will accept the person. There's a famous line in the Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Lord Krishna says, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee will not perish. So the question could be raised, why does Krishna tell Arjuna to declare it? Why doesn't Krishna himself make the declaration? And the answer is that sometimes, for the sake of his devotee, Krishna will break his own word. Although Krishna is the most religious and the most truthful, but his affection for his devotees is so great that sometimes he'll break his own word to keep intact the promise of his devotee, as was the case with Bhishma. Duryodhana, in his very clever and diplomatic way, suggested that Bhishmadeva was not fighting to his full capacity because of his affection for the Pandavas, and especially Arjuna. So that, of course, was a taunt or a challenge, and Bhishmadeva, you know, rose to meet the challenge, and he said that I will fight so heroically that either Arjuna will die in today's fighting, or Krishna will have to break his promise not to take part in the fighting. And so it happened that Bhishmadeva fought so valiantly that Arjuna was actually in difficulty. His chariot was broken to pieces. And Krishna came down from the chariot, picked up the broken chariot wheel, and rushed towards Bhishmadeva as if he was going to kill Bhishma with the chariot wheel. So, by doing so, he kept intact Bhishmadeva's promise, but he broke his own promise not to take part in the fighting. And Bhishmadeva remembered that vision of Krishna rushing towards him as if to kill him at the time of death. Because Bhishmadeva was also a Mahajan, he's also a great devotee of Krishna. And he had that virya-ras, chivalrous mood of fighting with Krishna with love. So at the time of death he was remembering that image of Krishna rushing towards him with the chariot wheel. So it is known that Krishna, if he has to, will break his own promise to keep intact the promise of his devotee. And therefore Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare it. Because if I declare it, people might think, well, if it comes to it, I might break my word. But if you declare it, everyone knows I'll never allow my devotee's word to be broken. So here, Srila Prabhupada has told us, if we chant 16 rounds a day, follow the four regulative principles, and work to our best capacity to spread Krishna consciousness, we will go back home, back to Godhead. And because Krishna is Satyanugraha, merciful to his devotees, he will accept that method. He will make sure he will keep Srila Prabhupada's promise intact. He will accept that method, and anyone, as Srila Prabhupada says, anyone who strictly follows the principles that he's given us, which are coming to us through him via disciplic succession, will surely be successful. Go back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. Amen.